As players brave the elements of Australia's oceans, the Fox Footy team is firing up this week's footy news agenda in the podcast bunker. This is the Monday Review.
Two down, two to go, or should I say four down, four to go. That's how many teams are left in this year's finals race. Prelim finals coming up. The top four have made it through. One, two, three, and four, of course, with a double chance. They made the most of them on the weekend in GWS and Geelong. And they'll meet Richmond and Adelaide, who were waiting for them after their wins in the qualifying finals earlier this final series. Of course, two losers on the weekend. We had the Eagles against GWS, and the Sydney Swans were bundled out against the Cats. It was another weekend of football with a couple of one-sided results, and we'll dissect it all here on the Fox Footy podcast. And it's absolutely my pleasure to introduce two very esteemed gentlemen to the podcast this morning, of course, and hello to you both. First of all, Sam Datto, the official Manchester United Nuffy of Australia. Welcome.
That is correct, Tom. It's great to be back. Oh, great to be back. Only been a couple of weeks since I was last here, so it's great to be back.
Good, and you are the AFL 360 assistant producer, so the big show coming up tonight with Chris Scott and Alan Richardson. We'll talk a bit about that. And Riley Beveridge, a surname that suits his Saturday night habits. Welcome to the podcast.
G'day, Tommy. Great to be here. Some underwhelming footy over the weekend, but looking forward to dissecting it and having a look ahead to next week as well.
Cool, and we've also got Jared Healy later on in the podcast. We've got Fair or Farce, winners and losers, and your Twitter questions as well, which we'll touch on. But first things first, gentlemen, and I would like your winners and losers from the weekend, please, Sam.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to, this might be a bit of a cop-out, but I'm going to go Sam Mitchell's a winner. Even though his side lost, what an incredible career he had. He, you know, captained a premiership, won another three on top of that, Brownlow medalist. He's done it all, and he got to play. His second last game was one of the all-time greats that went to extra time, so he's experienced it all.
I'm amazed that he's only kicked 70 goals in his career. He kicked two on the weekend, the first time he's kicked two since 2011, Riley. That's not a bad little winner to have, Sam. And a loser for you, please?
My loser, I'm going to go a bit left field here. The fan that ran on to celebrate Arsenal's goal, which was ruled offside, and he kept celebrating and eventually had to be taken off by stewards in front of the Chelsea fans and you got
completely
his right
embarrassed.
Whack. Got his right whack.
Yes. Well, if you want to check out that video, of course, you can go to foxsports.com.au right after you go to foxfooty.com.au to check out all the footy news. Riley, winner and loser for you?
My winner this week, because there weren't many in the AFL, it was quite an indifferent weekend of footy. So my winner this week comes from the VFL, Gary Ayres.
Gareth.
I don't think anyone's done as much to enhance their standing this September than Gary Ayres. Yeah. I mean, somehow he's back in the frame for AFL jobs. I saw this morning a couple of people saying he should be considered for an AFL job if a position arises where a team needs an experienced coach. So he's got Port Melbourne into another VFL flag, so he's had a very good September.
VFL Grand Final, of course, coming up this weekend. They beat Williamstown, which is a big rivalry there. Good win for Port Melbourne on the weekend. And your biggest loser?
If we're going to other sports, I'm going to have to go with biggest loser being myself and all of the other Australian Cincinnati Bengals fans because they can't put a touchdown on the board at the moment to save themselves.
How many other Australian Cincinnati Bengals fans are there?
It's an exclusive club, mate.
about a five-person Facebook group, I reckon.
The first team to go the first two games at home since 1940 or something without scoring a touchdown. Yeah. There's a fact for you. That's how grim it is.
That's pretty ordinary. Pretty ordinary weekend for you, Riley. And, of course, Carlton weren't playing finals either, so you had a pretty quiet few days. Well, it's time to get into the agenda. And welcome to the podcast for a coronial inquest is Sarah Ollier, Sydney Swans tragic. She watched the game very closely on Friday night, Geelong versus Sydney, and she saw her beloved club not even put up a fight. Sarah Ollie, welcome to the Fox Footy podcast.
Yes, I'm still in mourning, but thank you for having me. I'm dressed in black. I know you can't see, but I'm in the colour of mourning. It was not a great weekend for the Swans and not a great Friday night for myself, Tom.
No, you're not quite Mario from Doncaster, but give us a little bit of your take on proceedings on this horror night for your football club.
Well, I was in the office at Fox Footy when I heard that Tom Lonigan wasn't playing, and me, like the rest of the people in the office, kind of laughed and thought, well, let's just proceed on to Adelaide. But this just goes to show that you do not count those chickens before you hatch. I got there and the vibe was not good. The Marbo feeling was not good. two minutes into it and I was like, we are off here. And I was on in that respect.
Skaz, you made mention of it on Friday night and I want to touch on it now because I think you raised a couple of good points. John Longmire's abilities as a match day coach, because he backs in his players so much and almost puts too much trust in him. He didn't really make a change until late in the game. Sam Reed stayed behind the ball for most of it. Never really went man-on-man when Geelong was trying to zone off in defence. It really didn't give your forward line much hope in the end. What were your thoughts on that, watching the game on Friday?
And I don't want to take credit for this, because this is really Dermot Brereton's line, that he thinks that Monday to Friday, you can't get much better than Horse. He's a great coach in that respect. But when it comes to game day, if things aren't going his way, he doesn't seem to have the capacity to come up with a plan B or C or D. And I think that was pretty evident on Friday. It was just not there. And after the game, he said, you know, our boys were tired. And yes, they did look tired, but it's not really the excuses you want to be hearing as a supporter.
Do you think the 0-6 start, as he said they were tired. Do you think the 0-6 start, given that almost every week from there on in was an elimination final, would it have taken, can you be empathetic of the fact that it probably took a lot out of the players mentally as well as physically?
Oh, certainly. And I mean, they were up for about 4 months and only lost a Hawthorn in that time. So I guess it was always going to come back and bite them in the bum at some point, Riles. And we saw that it really did on Friday. But how about don't start zipping six, even win one or two of those matches and you may make top four, you may get a home final and, you know, and have the double chance, and maybe we're not in this position.
Sarah, 4 years now. Does the pressure on the Buddy era at Sydney keep growing?
No, I don't subscribe to this theory, Sam. I don't think Buddy can do much more. He's been absolutely fantastic for our club. I think that shows off-field. I don't think memberships have ever been as high. So I don't really know what else Buddy can do. I mean, it's not just up to him to win them a flag. Everyone's got to contribute. Yeah. And I'm a bit over people poking Buddy, actually. And
well, you're going to have to cop it a little bit here now, Sarah. He didn't kick a goal on the weekend, and you can say he wasn't fully fit, but he was pretty ordinary against the Cats when it mattered most.
Yeah, but, I mean, he wasn't alone in that respect, was he? And
no, but he's paid $1 million a season.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you look at some of the deals that are being bandied around now. I mean, that looks like it was pocket change, really. So I think Buddy's worth that price tag. Yes, he had a shocking game, but I think if you look at his finals record up until now, he's been pretty sound in that respect. So yes, he had a shocker, but he wasn't alone.
Is the argument not, though, that they recruited him to win a flag, and while the onus isn't necessarily on him, I wouldn't say he's been a failure. I think some people have tried to make that argument. I wouldn't say he's been a failure, but I'd say the fact they haven't won a flag with him, given that's what they recruited him to do, there's got to be pressure on them to do that in the remaining years of his contract, I think.
Yeah, and I think 2016, in hindsight now, looks like it was a big missed opportunity, because you look at the Dogs and they weren't even able to make the finals this year. So just goes to show that you've got to be on at the right time in the year, and unfortunately for the past couple of attempts now, the Swans just haven't been able to capitalise. But look, they're getting in the right position, and they are a good club to go for. As disappointed as I am in how they've bowed out, they don't really let their supporters down that often.
Kurt Tippett, what do you do now, Sarah?
Yeah, that's a good question. So obviously wasn't selected to play in the finals, and in the first final it looks like a really good call. Cal Sinclair played out of his skin, kicked 3 goals, but was not good on Friday. It was really, really shocking, actually. Was may as well not have been on the ground. But I mean, I don't know if Kurt Tippett would have played well in those conditions either.
No.
They were slippery, and they weren't suited to a big man. So it's a difficult one. He's contracted until the end of 2018. He'd have a little bit of currency if they wanted to try and shop him around. But I think the Swans have said that he's a required player, but that doesn't really mean a whole lot, though. But there'd be clubs that would be interested in someone like Tippett. I mean,
a Collingwood type?
Yeah. Someone that could do with a big ruck / forward. I mean, what would you guys be doing with him?
I'd be looking at Brisbane and Gold Coast as the best possible markets. That's where he was meant to go four or 5 years ago, we were told, and never end up going there. But it's an interesting
and he's
one.
From their roles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's interesting as well with, I think it was Ralphie's report on the weekend with Kurt Tippett and Alir saying neither of them will be on the trade table this off-season. I think if they get offered quite a substantial amount for either of them, they might be on their way.
I think it's all to do with money as well with Kurt Tippett, because how can you justify paying someone such a large portion of your salary cap that's actually on the cusp of your team? Sarah, before we let you go, can you please give us a grade for the season for the Sydney Swans? And this is not an easy one. I was thinking about this on the car on the way here. How would you grade them from A+ down to F?
I mean, seeing as I thought that they'd probably finish top two and probably make a grand final, I'd probably have to give them a C.
Yep.
But if you asked me just to do it from when they were zipping six to now, I'd have to say that that was a very successful turnaround and it was good that they were able to do it, but they should have been doing better this year.
Dado, what do you think?
I'd go B-.
B minus.
Yeah, I think they've butted some youngsters, certainly during that early part of the season, and I think they'll be better for it in the long run. So B- for me.
Riley?
You almost have to give them two grades, don't you? I think if you're going to do it overall, though, I'm with Sammy, I reckon a B-, because they really should have been higher, as Sarah said, but the way they turned it around, I think they're the only team in the competition that would have been capable of making the finals from 0-6 and making something of their season.
But why are we giving them so much credit? They were so bad in the first place.
Completely decimated by injury. It was a completely different side. I mean, go back and look at that round 16 compared to now. Go back and look at the performance levels of the players. It was a completely different side.
Well, Sarah, that wraps it up. Thanks very much for joining us on the Fox Footy podcast and all the best for your off-season and good luck to the Swans next year.
All right. Good work, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Sarah. Well, she's a bit disappointed, Riley, and rightly so.
I think the biggest factor to come from that game is that with all the talk on Dustin Martin the week prior, we've forgotten just how good Patrick Dangerfield is.
Well, have we forgotten that?
I think we have, because we were starting, a few people were starting to become critical of him. There was not many people who are still considering him among the best players in the competition, but he's incredible the way he can play two completely different positions and have an impact in either of them.
Well, Sam, let's talk about Patrick Dangerfield and Chris Scott. This was a genius move, wasn't it? Dangerfield kicked 4 goals, 3, 26 disposals, and it completely...
He had 4-3 at half-time.
Yeah, he really should have kicked 7 or 8.
4-3 and 1 out in the full, he really should have.
Chris Scott's on AFL 360 tonight, Sam. It'll be compulsive viewing.
Yeah, and he'll be fascinating. It'll be great to see how Alan Richardson saw it as well. But I think the Cats played brilliantly, but the best performer on the night was Chris Scott. He got bang for buck. Dangerfield Ford was genius, completely taking Rampy out of the game. And the Swans mids are great two-way runners, and he said, we're going to get our mids forward and we're going to push them back as deep as we can. And it was a brilliant result.
I'd love to know if Chris Scott would have played Danger Ford had Tom Lonergan been
fit. Dangerfield said he would have. Said that the plan was made midweek.
Okay. I wonder if he'd just spent as much time and if he'd have played one out as he did, though.
As a result, Harry Taylor staying forward.
Because if you've got Taylor, Hawkins and Danger Ford, it's a weird sort of mix that haven't played much footy together. And the fact that Danger, like, as you said, he took Rampy out of the game. Rampy can become one of their great offensive assets in the sense that he likes to get off his man and intercept and run free. But pushing him, playing him one out in the goal square, it made him accountable and didn't allow him to do that.
Sydney love a goalkeeper, and they didn't allow them to have that option in defence. So that was brilliant coaching.
It was absolutely genius. And it also shines a light on the importance of clearances or the lack of importance, because Sydney won the clearances by 3. But what's more important, what is clearly more critical to winning a game, is making the most of your opportunities when you get the ball inside forward 50. And Sydney and the Cats were poles apart in this regard.
Yeah, no, completely agree. I just think that if players like Manigola, who had an impact, and he had 26 and 2, Scott Salwood had about 10 tackles again.
26 touches as well,
I don't think Joel Salwood even had that much footy. So it just shows that maybe Geelong does have that depth in the midfield. Mark Blitzars did a really important role in
14 tackles.
Yeah, he was fantastic. So, look, maybe Geelong does have that depth. And I know a lot of people have already written them off going over there to Adelaide. But, I mean, this final series has shown us now that these teams that finish top 4 are still good teams.
And maybe the reason why we
jumped a bit early on them last week.
Yeah, I worry a little bit for Geelong and Adelaide, because they played very high on the MCG on Friday night.
Yes.
And I feel that Sydney aren't one of the teams to make the most of getting out the back of opposition, whereas Adelaide, we know, score a lot of the goals running into goal, goals. So I worry a little bit.
Yeah. It's going to be a really interesting game. And Geelong had 110 more uncontested possessions as well, so they worked on the outside extremely well.
I felt they worked harder.
Yeah.
And I know that could be really simplistic to say, but it just seemed as though they had that extra zip in their step. They had something to play for, and it really showed. I thought Stephen Motlop was really good.
Yes.
Given the criticisms of him the week before. He was really classy and got on his bike, and it was a point of difference in that Geelong midfield.
Motlop and Menzel both out of contract, both pretty important players for Geelong, and it's bizarre that Menzel didn't play the week before, because they actually offer something different in that forward line. It's a really difficult forward line to match up on when you've got Hawkins, Dangerfield, Menzel and Motlop.
Who plays on Dangerfield if he goes forward again for Adelaide?
That's a really good question. Well, who plays on him in the midfield? Who normally takes him in the midfield?
They're generally back there.
Yeah, they back them offensively, don't they?
I wonder if it would be someone like a Jake Kelly, or I can't see someone like a Jake Lever going to him.
Yeah, I'd see him playing less time forward. I think you can get at Adelaide's midfield, and that's where you can get on top of them. So I think you'd want him in there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting anyway. You'll be over there, Riley, of course, for foxfooty.com.au. Yep. Adelaide versus the Cats, and we'll talk about that on the Thursday Match Community Podcast. Of course, that was the Cats by 59 points. And Tom Lonergan's an interesting one as well, after Sausage Rollgate, when he felt sick after eating a sausage roll, reportedly, and didn't play the game.
We've been there before, haven't we?
Yeah, we've all been there before. So let's talk about...
Josh Jenkins' ham gate and now sausage roll gate. Oh, that's all happening.
I don't know why you're eating a sausage roll before the game anyway, but that's not really my area of expertise. I'm no dietitian. Absolutely not.
I thought sausage rolls were your expertise.
Kicking them, yes, absolutely. GWS versus West Coast. I was there for this one, so I'll open the batting.
Kick yourself.
GWS by 67 points. It could have been 100 points, really. West Coast were nowhere near it from the start until the end. Almost every player on the field, you can safely say that their GWS opponent had the better of them. They just were quicker, they were sharper, their foot skills were cleaner. And West Coast probably proved why they scraped into finals in eighth position and then scraped through to the semi-final.
Do you think, being there at the ground, do you think that in the
along with about 15 others?
Yeah. In a weird way, that Shane Mumford and Jeremy Cameron being out helped the GWS in the sense that it made them smaller, it made them move the ball quicker, and they looked a lot better.
It's very hard to say until they play a good team, I think. I don't think it really mattered on the weekend. I think Cameron and Mumford had played, they still would have won by a lot. The test will be this weekend.
I thought Lobb was good in the ruck.
Lobb was good in the ruck, and a lot was made, and Sam Dado did a very good tweet about the last time Roy Lobb was the one out.
Yeah,
ruckman.
No, admittedly 2 years ago. I wasn't saying he didn't have it in him. It was just a stated fact.
In his third game, Todd Goldstein had 80 hitouts and the most hitouts ever in a game. But it was Roy Lobb's third game, and really, against Vardy and Petrie, Lobb had the better of them.
Yeah, won the hitouts and gave his midfield first supply, and it was back to Harlem Globetrotters footy.
Yeah, they were witches out to West Coast.
Some of the goals they were scoring. Yeah. I mean, at the start of the last quarter, Stevie J, within 10 seconds, has 40 metres of space inside 50.
How does that work?
They were nowhere, West Coast.
No, they're absolutely nowhere, and they'd probably spent their chips in the previous 2 weeks playing back-to-back elimination finals, really, getting there. And good on them for getting there.
They got further than anyone could have imagined.
Yeah, well at the start of the year, we thought they'd get here, but midway through the year. Well, Ben Waterworth thought they'd win the flag.
Yeah.
Is that more a reflection on Ben, is it, Riley?
No, I don't think it is. But I was never really convinced by them.
No.
At any stage throughout this year.
Yeah.
No, not once did I look at them play footy and think they deserve to be in the second week of finals. And in the end, they got there and showed they probably didn't deserve to be there.
Yes, and the Giants were good. 14,000 people at Spotless Stadium. Sam, do we worry about that?
I think long term, you've got to worry about the Giants just being a new club. And it's, you know, similar to the Gold Coast, the stability of both clubs. But I think, you know, success will bring more fans to the game. Are you worrying it from a ticketing perspective for a semi-final to be played then, potentially a prelim in future years? Is that what you're saying?
No, right? I'm more just saying for the look of the game and the popularity of the game. I don't really think...
I mean
it's only a small stadium. It's a boutique stadium. It's not like it's 14,000 over 100,000.
They had a Matildas game earlier in the day in Penrith, was it? And they had a Parramatta game that night.
Yeah.
So it was up against some pretty serious billing.
How does it go in comparison to NRL crowds?
Well, the NRL crowd was bigger.
Yeah, but not many are, let's be honest.
I was there. I could not believe how many empty seats there were.
Like, do we get hung up about this stuff, though?
Well, we probably do, yeah. So let's move on. what are your thoughts, Riles, on Stevie J? 3 touches in the first half, 6 goals in the second half.
I worry about, he's obviously a great competitor. Done it over a long career, he's done this. I worry about if they carry him in underdone this week. Leon Cameron said
how's
he
going to be underdone?
A fitness test Wednesday. So he'll have to pass a fitness test on Wednesday, Leon Cameron said. I worry if he's a bit, because he needs to be at 100%
cherry ripe, yes,
to be playing that type of footy. And he can produce his moments, but at the end of the day, he kicks 6 goals from 8 touches in the second half. So a couple of them go wayward and he doesn't have as big an impact as what he did have. So...
would you play him?
Oh, yeah, have to on the back of that. But I worry that MCG against a pretty solid Richmond side that he might go missing.
Yeah, I agree. I think Leon Cameron's got a great out with the knee injury. If he probably won't pass the fitness test. I think reading the tea leaves, he hasn't been able to play 2 weeks in a row for a while. So I think he's primed if they make it through to a grand final to come back in.
Yeah, imagine that.
It'll be glorious.
Do you know what is going to be glorious? Seeing Richmond and GWS and the reactions to when they run out in the field on Saturday evening, because there's going to be 80, 90,000 there, and they are all going to be Richmond fans.
Yes.
It's going to be the most intimidating atmosphere we've ever seen in an AFL.
I completely agree, because you have the smallest fan base, along with Gold Coast, with, at the moment, this hidden majority fan base that's come out from the woodwork.
A hidden majority.
Well, it has been for years.
No, they've always been.
No, but it's been hidden for years while the Tigers have been no good. And now look at them.
It has been.
This Tiger train is stopping no stations. This is an express service to premiership. They are on fire, the Tigers.
How many fans will GWS get there?
I would say no more than 2,000.
So you every chance to get 95,000 Richmond supporters there at the MCG.
It'll be a Subiaco light atmosphere.
For a young team. Or an inexperienced team to come up in front of that, it'll be brilliant. Riley, we're both going, so it's fabulous.
I'm really impressed with the way GWS played against West Coast, despite the opponents not being that good. Stephen Coniglio was terrific.
He's the most important.
I gave him a 9 on the player ratings. I think he deserved it. Josh Kelly is just so classy. Yeah. So what I've noticed about Josh Kelly is, unlike Dustin Martin, who gets away from tackles because he's strong, and Dangerfield because he's strong, Kelly's just athletic and agile, and he's like a rubber band. He gets away in and out of tackles that way and always gets a handball or a kick away. He's worth every cent.
Yeah, completely agree.
And then
you've got Shiel and Ward and Whitfield that go on top
of that. Cullen Ward's terrific, isn't he? And Phil Davis is very good in defence. He plays on smalls and talls as well, Phil Davis. He's terrific. Leon Cameron's very measured in his press conference after the game, where he was asked what he thought about Tom Bugg being in the rooms post-match. What were your thoughts on this, Riley, the Melbourne player being in the change rooms after the game?
Not an issue.
Yep. Sam?
No, not an issue at all.
No worries. Just thought I'd bring it up then.
No. It's
fine with it.
No difference to Jordan Lewis going to the Hawthorne game to watch Lukey Hodge play his last game. Why can't he go support his former club and his mates?
I agree with you, but there is a difference to that, because Jordan Lewis is a premiership player at the club, and that's a milestone match for Luke Hodge.
Tom Bugg's an inaugural.
He's a foundation player that played, 40 games for the club.
Mates.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's a little bit unusual to see an opposition player in the rooms. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's just a bit unusual to see, unless it's a milestone, of course. Anything else on this game, Rolls?
More unusual to see you down there, I reckon.
Yeah, I was down there.
Love the spotlight,
though. No, not at all. Very good. Well, how do the Giants stop Dusty? Does Coniglio go to him, do you think, Rolls?
Team effort. They've got the numbers in midfield, I think, to overwhelm him. You've got to drill into each midfield player that they've got to be first to the ball at every time, and every time Dusty gets the ball, this mob mentality of surrounding him and not letting him have space. So I think it's got to be a real team effort, because I don't think just one player can stop him.
Mm. Yeah, completely agree. Team effort, you can't stop Dusty as an individual.
All right, now we've got Australia's favourite segment coming up, Fair or Fast. Now, you haven't done it for a while, Sam, so just to remind you of what happens here, I'll make a statement too, then you'll have to say whether it's fair or fast and give a small reason why.
So easy.
Okay, fair or fast, I'll start with you, please, Sam. The grand final public holiday should be on the Monday after the grand final, not the Friday before it. Fair or farce?
Nah, it's a farce.
What? Why?
that's what you're about to explain, isn't it?
The public holiday before is fantastic. I think you get plenty of people in the city coming in for grand final day.
If you can hear that, I'm just ruffling the paper here. Calls to move grand final holiday to ease $1.2 billion hit to state. I don't know what you're on a year, Sam, but that's a lot of money that's coming out of the Victorian government's... funds.
Admittedly, 360 pay a good wage, but nothing like that.
But you know what I'd do? Scrap the grand final parade. Everyone goes to work on the Friday, and then on the Monday, the winner of the grand final has their own parade.
Oh, like Chelsea sort of...
Yeah, like what they do in Europe, where you have the bus top tour with the hanging out.
We can have 15 there when GWS win it.
Yes. No, I agree with you. That would be great, Riles, but... We cannot stop the grand final parade now. That is part of Melbourne's DNA.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't love it. People love it, though.
Aren't you a traditionalist, Riley?
No.
Not at all. No. Scrap the centre bounds.
All right, you've lost us, Riles. This is for you now. Fair or farce?
Yep.
It's best for Port and Hinkley if the two part ways. Fair or farce?
Ooh, I don't think it's best for them. I'd say farce. I think it could be good. I think Port... Adelaide needs Hinkley more than he needs Port Adelaide, if you know what I mean. Mm. I think he can go to Gold Coast with a young list and take it to the next level. I think Port Adelaide don't have the greatest list, as we've seen the last couple of years, and Hinkley's managed to bring them to, what was it, two prelims, or a prelim and
another couple of final series.
Fifth place finish this year.
If Hinkley goes to the Gold Coast Suns and it doesn't work. He could be their last coach as well. That's how important he is
could
at
he?
The Suns.
Genuinely, do you think that?
The Suns, they cannot continue to go on the way they're going.
I thought Rodney Eade was interesting on Fox Sports News yesterday, saying that he thinks the biggest problem facing the Suns is the lack of media scrutiny.
Yeah.
You said you've got young players going up there and thinking to themselves, if we lose this, no one's going to care because we're not going to get hounded for it in the media. Whereas he said, you look at Geelong last week, they lost to Richmond and got smashed for 7 days, came out with something to play for the next week. He said, Gold Coast never had that. And he said, you've got all these players now that are developing through the ranks with no scrutiny and no accountability on their shoulders.
Yeah, and I think Hinkley's a great person to get the best out of that list. And as you've said previously on this podcast, Riley, is that it's a good job to walk into.
It is. They're at a
low point, and some would say there's only ways up.
Yes. Now, the last Fair or Farce is directed at you, Sam, but you can chime in as well, Riley, of
Love
course.
It.
This is a sort of a joint Fair or Farce. Following the Davis Cup loss last night, which was disappointing. No, we didn't choke because Kyrgios gave it all but lost in four sets, and then we lost to Belgium over there in Brussels. Fair or Farce. The Matildas are Australia's best sporting team by the length of Flemington Strait. Fair or Farce?
Farce. It's longer.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah. Fair. Yeah. They're an outstanding team to watch. They're brilliant to watch.
How good Sam Kerr?
Yeah, gun. Absolute gun. And Davana as well. Loved the little celebration to the camera. That was outstanding. Yeah, great team to watch.
Great team and great personality within the team as well. They're the easiest team to get behind in Australia right now.
Because they all seem like good people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easier than the Australian one-day team in India, Rolls.
No, I can't watch them.
No. Well, if you want to have a read of that game, you can jump onto foxsports.com.au and just look it up because Anna Harrington's
done a
really, really good piece following that match, which she was at in Sydney on Saturday. Now it's time to speak to Jared Healy ahead of On The Couch tonight. Okay, Jared, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for having a chat to us.
Well, it's great to be on, Tom, but it's obviously pretty callous in there. Sydney lose, Sarah gets the flick.
it's a cutthroat world we live in. So Sam Dado done a terrific job.
Well, it's great to have Sam on board. What have you got for me, Sam?
Oh, it's great to be here, Jared. Jared, how do you see the Ken Hinckley situation off the top? It's going to be a massive talking point, and I'm sure you'll analyse it tonight pretty heavily on the couch. Where's he at? Where are Port at? Where do you see he being next year?
Well, it's a pretty simple scenario for me. If the coach has got this many problems in staying and that you need meetings to talk him into staying, well, then it's time to cut the thread. And this, I suspect, has been going since Koshy went big earlier in the season, finals or bust, putting Ken Hinckley on notice that if they didn't make the finals, then his job would be essentially finished. And I think from that point on, the contract to me that he has got a year to run in was essentially null and voided. I mean, there's probably a legal argument that says he's still contracted to the club.
Yeah.
But I mean, football is more than about contracts. Football's about people wanting to be at the place and wanting people to work with and for you. And as far as I'm concerned, when Koshy said that, it became, Ken Hinckley is entitled now to say, no, you made the rules. I don't particularly want to be here. I'm prepared to walk if he wants to walk.
Mm. Well, it was this time last year that Scott Pendlebury actually said contracts in footy are almost irrelevant. So it's interesting to see what's happening at the moment with Port. Do you think he's definitely the best man for Gold Coast anyway, Jared?
I do. I said it at the time when the job became available. I thought Ken Hinckley should have been their number one target, particularly in the light of what was said early in the season, as I've explained. He's got he's a senior man. He knows what he's doing. I'd love to be coached by Ken Hinckley. He's a bloke, I think, that the Gold Coast desperately need.
Jared, in terms of the footy itself on the weekend, I know the games were quite underwhelming, but who are you more impressed with by the way they responded? Because there was a lot of heat going into it on the Cats and the Giants. So who really took your eye and how well did they respond each to get the win on the weekend?
Well, I think Geelong wins that battle pretty comfortably. They were under the pump. They had injuries that looked as if they were irreplaceable. And they came out and played magnificent footy. Aided and abetted by pretty ordinary performance by Sydney. They just couldn't get anything going. They looked as if they'd run out of mental energy, and the harder they tried, the more they fumbled. It was pretty poor, and unfortunately, it was at the end of what was one of the great runs in footy. But well done to the Cats. You know, it was a superb effort, one of Chris Scott's finest. And I think it just goes to show the power of football. If you've got talent of players, stick them in the forward 50, and generally that will get the job done.
Where do you start Patrick Dangerfield this weekend, Jared?
Not sure where he starts, but I know where he'll play most of his footy, and that's in the forward 50. I think their forward line doesn't look like a premiership forward line if he's not there. But when he is in that forward line, it absolutely reeks of a side that can beat anybody in the competition. As far as the Giants, look, the Giants are just an interesting study. They've had all this, a lot of talent. They haven't had as much depth as I think people think that they've got. So I think we should still acknowledge what a fantastic performance it was. But what they did do is that they played a game and they selected a side that I think enhances their strengths. And their strength is run.
Mm.
Their strength is ball movement. And they'd lost their one wood over the last 6 weeks where their ball movement had been stifled. And so they downsized to a large degree. I think Rory Lobb did a fantastic job in the ruck. I think Olivier across half back line works. They made a couple of other moves like Wilson into sort of the midfield area. And I think that's the side that can take them to the flag. So if it's by fluke or by good management, I'm not sure. But to me, the running power of the Giants is what will take them to the flag. But they've got, obviously, to get through the Tigers.
Jared, just before we let you go, you were in the lab on Saturday watching Giants v Eagles very closely. I gave up my post to Tommy Dullard for the evening. How'd you see his performance?
Well, Tom's just he knows his role. He's a back pocket trying to get into the midfield. And at this stage, your credentials, Sam, have got you there. And but I have seen a lot of midfielders like your good self blow up after a period of time.
Nah, we'll be back Friday night footy this week. Yeah, I'll be back at my best. Don't worry about that.
Very good. And Jared, you've got the AFMA Awards on tomorrow night. We expect On the Couch to have a clean sweep of all the available trophies.
We're just a humble little show, just cutting
your jib.
Cutting a little piece of the footy environment. We've only been around for 25 years, so we need to go on.
Oh, terrific. Well, you do a great job, and we look forward to seeing you, Jason Brownie, and David King.
You've remembered them all this week, Tommy.
On the Couch tonight, and Mick Warner, of course, on the Couch tonight, 8:30, Fox Footy. Jared, we'll see you then.
All the best, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Jared.
And, of course, Sam Daddo, thank you for joining us, assistant producer on AFL 360. Big show tonight as well.
Yeah, massive show. Chris Scott and Alan Richardson, as we said, will be fantastic. Richo bought a little bit of gold from the games last week, so let's hope he's got something tonight. And tomorrow, just a little plug here, 360, Mark Robinson out, Gillon McLachlan in.
Is that right?
Yes, co-host with Jared Waitley. So
two quite similar individuals, Robinson for McLachlan, like-for-like sort of thing, do you feel, Riley?
Yeah, really straight swaps. Can we expect AFL 360 to clean up tomorrow night, the AFMAs?
I'm not sure about cleaning up, but we've had a pretty good year. Again, Timmy Hodges has been excellent producing the show. Jared Waitley and Robbo hosting have been fantastic again. Looking for a three-peat, Riles. So hopefully our best three-peat since Hawthorn.
To back. Riley, foxfooty.com.au, you have a good week. Anything planned?
I've got a couple of things on the boil.
And you're off to Adelaide as well.
Yeah, Adelaide on Thursday to watch the Crows and the Cats. Danger Mania over there.
City of Churches, very nice. Well, terrific work again, gents. You've been very polished as always, Sam. You might be invited back. Riley, you will be invited back.
Thanks, Tommy.
Make sure you tune in to the Match Committee podcast with Benny Boy Waterworth on Thursday ahead of a huge preliminary final weekend. But until then, keep clicking back to foxfooty.com.au.